Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
It's the Luke and Pete Show. I'm Pete Donaldson. I'm joined by Luke Moore. It's a Thursday. I do hope you're keeping well. Oh, isn't it getting warm? Aren't the lights? Nights getting longer? Whoa, lovely, Lukey, lovely.
Yeah, clocks go forward soon. Exciting. You get an hour less in bed for one night, but in return, you get a good 6 months of great quality evenings.
Great quality evenings. Have you? I think we're allowed to now meet one friend out in outside for a beer. Is that true? Have you done that yet, Luke? I saw two young men with some desperados sat on a. You know the gates they have to open and close on the canal. I saw two lads sat there and they were just polishing off some desperados. And that looks nice. They do sound cool, except they're drinking Desperados, which
are cool. Did you want to be a part of it?
I did, kind of, but then that would have. If you joined, I guess you'd ruin their day because that's a three now. You can't do that.
So I think the change has been, as far as I understand it, the change is that you are allowed to meet one person outside your household, outside for exercise purposes. I think you're now allowed to do it for leisure purposes, I believe. But I'm not an expert in these Byzantine rules that exist in our lives these days.
All right, Lawrence, calm it down, mate. All right.
What I have done is what I do most of the time anyway, because I'm 40, I've enjoyed a can of Guinness in my living room.
I like it. Look, I like it. You bought me some Tiskies very kindly before Christmas. I run out of them a little while ago, so I need to get my fix.
I'll send you another slab of them. Apparently they're problematic these days. Can't drink anything these days.
We've got to find another. Now I think there's a Weech eggs or something like that. There's
lech.
Another Polish lager I want to try. Yeah, let's have a lech. Let's try a lech. What was I going to say? I had quite the adventure on Saturday, Lukey Moore. I live off a private road. Didn't know it was a private road when we moved in. Didn't know this. For some reason, the private road is down to us to maintain. It's basically just a dirt road with a lot of dirty old rocks that people
drive
over.
It's ironic, Peter, because you're the exact person that exists for the reason that people have private roads.
Exactly. So you're supposed to be keeping me out.
You've infiltrated. But there was just
loads of potholes. Since we moved in, the road has gone to absolute shit. And I don't know what it is, but there's just massive potholes and there's big puddles and stuff. And for people with decent suspension and their big Range Rovers around here, the old Chelsea tractors, they're fine. But with me and my little scooter, it really hurts the bum. So, a lot of people, some mysterious benefactor sort of rocked up with a big digger full of dirt and proceeded to just basically pour it on the floor. And it was our job as residents of this private road to just pick up the soil and fill in the potholes and fill in the road. The only thing is that I didn't have a trowel or a spade or anything that was useful in this particular job. And I had to just use a sturdy brush. And I was embarrassed and I was mortified and I just felt emasculated, quite frankly.
Did people judge you?
Yeah, but luckily, the dirt arrived earlier than they said it was going to arrive. It was supposed to be arriving at 10. We were going to start at 10. That was the agreement, the tacit agreement across the road. That's when it was going to start. And then a lot of people, and then the people just started. I think people were just raring to get going. They hadn't spoken to a lot of people, so they were raring to get going for a chat and a bit of a literal muck spreading. I got out at a certain time. But people started turning up like an hour late once the digger had already left a long time ago. So they were really upset that they looked lazy. So nobody really noticed the fact that I was woefully unprepared with my big yellow sturdy brush.
How did they get in touch with you to invite you along?
Paper through the door. Paper through the door.
It wasn't one of those read it, let us understand them Zoom calls. Was it?
It was a bit like that. The vibe was a little bit like that. But I learned there's two doors down. There's a man who, as a job, does VR, does virtual reality, mate. I'm like, what?
Tell us more about that. You live two doors
down from it. He does virtual reality for like medicine. And can you imagine if you're building a 3D world and it's just guts? Can you imagine the disgusting textures you've got to have on your computer? Just loads of heart oozing ventricles and blood.
I think you're his worst nightmare as a neighbour. You're just going to ask him loads of questions about
Tell me about the textures. Tell me how you make the bodies so shiny and stuff. But we had a little natter about that. Then a couple of doors down after that, he came over. He was a Geordie. He was a Ramble fan. Who came over and said hello. And weirdly, I really felt sorry for him. His kid, his little Ben, came up and full Newcastle kit. I was like, oh mate, I'm so sorry.
That's your fault.
Oh, bless him. So yeah.
Who's your favourite neighbour? Was there any neighbours you didn't like? Come on, be honest.
No, there's a man down the road who's just always out. I've told you, he's always just out of his house. Baldy bloke. He's just not allowed in his house, I don't think. And he's got one of those kit cars that looks like a Formula One car that he spends time tuning up every weekend. But he just never spends any time in his house. He's always just marching up and down, being a knobby knoll, in my opinion.
There's one of my neighbours. I don't know if I told you this, but one of my neighbours on Christmas Day spent the entire afternoon on the street outside our house with a can of beer. And a load of cans of beer on the wall. And if someone walked past on Christmas Day, he offered them
That'd
a beer.
Christmas.
And people would stand around talking to him. And he was out there for about 5 hours.
I like it.
He's got a wife and two daughters. I don't think he gets much peace.
Oh, so that, I thought he was just trying to escape for the day.
I think
lovely.
So. Yeah, I think
got a lot of time for that.
I like the idea that Christmas Day, that's my time. Not a time for family or for kids, that's my time.
Yeah, that seems a bit weird. How old's they been?
His daughters would be like, I don't know, like 10 and 12 or something. But the reason I asked you as to how your neighbours got in touch is because my wife joined the Streets WhatsApp group.
Oh, yes. I wonder if there's a WhatsApp group, because I don't think they'd like my memes.
Your memes are very dank.
Yeah, they're the dankest of memes.
Yeah, you take a meme of your standard, which even in media-centric London would be considered to be quite high on the dank scale. You take that to fucking Berkhamsted, people aren't going to know what's hit them, mate.
Yeah, they're pretty naughty. Pretty naughty, mate.
Have you sent any good dank memes to your dad recently?
No, he's what's he been up to? We were sharing a love of switching the corner of which fridge of changing the order in which your fridge opens. He did his recently, and I copycatted him. He was telling me a story about He used to work in a hospital. He's done loads of jobs, man. Minor, bloody chemical plant worker. But one of his jobs when I was young. He used to work in a hospital, and he's an electrical engineer, so he would fix any bits of instrument that needed to be fixed, like a defibrillator or, like, you know, all the stuff that floated around. So pretty important job, because you don't want things like heart rate monitors going down, do you? You don't want, like, ECG machines going down on you, so to speak. And he said that this specialist rocked up with this machine he'd bought on the internet. And it was basically just like a spark plug on a wire. It was like a wire on a spark plug with a charge through it. And he just bought it off the internet. He'd heard about this new way of zapping kidney stones, and he decided he wanted to use it in his surgery. And it just sounds like the 80s were like the fucking barber surgeon days.
That's
or something.
Wild West.
And I was like, it sounds like the EU, you know, the EU and, you know, higher standard of care just sounds like it was needed, to be honest, Dad.
Did he turn
it sounds
just
like
a
it was
dead
needed.
Body that he'd taken from a grave?
Honestly.
Like, this is what this.
There was loads of times, like, specialists would just turn up and go, I've bought this off the internet, and it's just It sends an electrical pulse through like a spark plug. And so my dad's like, right, okay. And so it was his job to ratify electrical things for use in surgery.
Should your dad be doing that? Is he good to do that?
He was qualified to...
Doesn't he wear a necklace that contained the bone of one of his feet?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's not a good look. That was pre-born in his foot. I think he still had all his bones in his feet. Bless him. But he, and this guy, this specialist said, well, I want to use this in surgery. And he went, right. So how do I test it? What is it? And he's got, well, it just explodes kidney stones. And my dad was like,
what
well,
else does it explode?
There are rules. Yeah, exactly. I mean, there are rules about electrical currents through the body because... Yeah. It does stop hearts and start them. And as long as you do it twice, it's fine.
Did it come a company with an Eddie Murphy putting his temple gif going, can't get kidney stones if I've exploded your kidney?
Exactly, yeah. And once again, you said he's Eddie Murphy. It's not Eddie Murphy.
Who is it?
It's just a dude.
I thought it was Eddie Murphy.
No,
I thought the whole point of it was Eddie Murphy.
Why would it be Eddie Murphy?
I don't know.
You talk blind maniac. Oh, dear.
Pete, by the way, speaking of dads... But I'm just,
yeah, go on.
No, go on, carry on. Sorry, you carry on. You finish.
Well, I just said, so my dad rang the company who came up with this fucking spark plug kidney stone exploder and went, right.
It's not called that, is it?
Whatever it is. Yeah. I need a schematic to sort of say, like, what voltage is coming down this? Where was this made? Because I can't sign off. I can't put a little sticker saying, tested by Stewie D. If he's going to explode someone's fucking brain with it.
Yeah.
I need the schematics. I need proof of why it works. How it could go wrong. And the bloke went, look, just I haven't got a schematic. We'll just put a tree bark extra mint in a glass of water. Just explode it.
What?
And my dad's like, I'm not giving this a sticker. No.
But I also don't like the idea of being sat at a doctor's surgery with a complaint and he comes in and he says, right, Mr. Moore, come in, sit down. So we've seen your chart and you're ready to do a procedure on you now to alleviate these symptoms. And me said, thank you very much, doctor. What are you going to be using? And he just pulls a curtain back and goes, we're going to be using the spark plug kidney stone exploder. So I don't want it called that. Call it something else because that is not relaxing me. That's not a good bedside
manner.
Why has
it got electrical tape all over it? Has this been ratified by Stewie Donaldson?
We're led to believe that you've eaten a few too many tree ball strong mints. No, that's not the problem. Can I point you in the direction of a photo I've just sent you on WhatsApp? My dad sent me through the latest picture of the bench he's made in lockdown. So regular listeners will know that my old man has started building benches in lockdown. And he sent me a picture of one the other day of one in
that's
progress.
That's astonishingly
It's great,
good
right? It looks good, doesn't it?
Beautiful. Absolutely lovely.
Yeah.
Wow.
So lovely bit
of polish on the wood as well. Fantastic.
He's making like three or four of them, not for commercial purposes, just to give to various members of the family because he's a good egg. It's keeping him busy. You'll notice he's got a pair of Kevlar safety shoes on as well. He's all about that life.
Look, if that bit of wood falls down on his feet, he's going to be a big bother.
Exactly. My dad's also got my dad's. Speaking of like our dads and feet problems, my dad's got no toenail on his big toe because it got so annoyed with it being ingrown all the time, he just pulled it off.
Does it not grow again?
He kept pulling it off.
Yeah. That's a horrible thing to have to sort of go through.
Yeah.
Has he tried a spark plug on a stick?
Yeah, it's basically not grown back. So God knows what he's done to it because you'd think that it would keep growing back. I got my, I got the middle fingernail on my left hand. Did I tell you about that? I slammed off in a door once. It was astonishingly painful.
Oh, yeah. Horrible. It goes off flat and then black and then falls off. Ugh, gross. Absolutely gross.
Yeah. Anyway, that's a nice way to end the first half, Pete. Benches, kidney stone exploders, fingernails, toenails, all sorts going on. Let's have a break. When we come back, what are we going to do? Loads more of this type of stuff, I suppose. We'll see you in a minute.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices
down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
You want to fight, Luke?
Yeah.
Yeah, let's have a fight.
I think I'd beat you in a fight.
Yeah, you probably would, but I'm a lover, not a fighter.
You're tired at the moment, that's why.
I'm tired.
I'll take you now.
I'm a tired boy. I've had a busy old week trying to wrangle electronics left, right and centre. Enjoying
it. The closest I've come to having a fight with you, and it's not very close, is when we got pissed together once and you kept drawing on me in biro.
That sounds like me. But I don't recall the evening in question, officer.
No, yeah. And I think at one point you started drawing on my arm in biro, and because I was wearing a T-shirt, and I kind of got used to it. I thought, I can't be bothered to have a
feels nice.
Like this.
Feels nice, doesn't it, after a while?
Yeah. And then I looked down, you were drawing a Red Hot Chili Peppers logo on my arm.
Is it because you had... Why do I think that you've got the Red Hot Chili Peppers tattooed on you? Because I know you've got some Chinese writing.
That biro. Yeah.
Looking cool, mate.
Disappointing. Pete, we should do some battery brands because it's Thursday. People keep sending them in. We need to tell them if a new player has entered the game. We're always on the lookout for random brands of batteries. I'm going to start with Joseph Eddington. And Pete, I'm going to give you the name. I want you to tell me whether you think it's a new player or not.
Okay.
And then I'll ratify the decision.
Yeah. Okay.
So Joseph Eddington, good name, by the way. Mm. Sent in Thunderbolt Magnums.
Oh, we must have had a Thunderbolt Magnum, surely. I mean, that just seems... That is the most obvious name you can give a battery, surely.
Well, I looked at the photo of it and I thought it was a new player.
Right, okay. I'm going to put that on the... I'm going to put that on the list, but there's going to be an asterisk next to it, just in case.
Okay, fine. Asterisk or an asterisk?
What did I say? Asterisk, didn't I? I said asterisk, didn't I?
Asterisk is a French... By the way, is asterisk problematic now the same way Tintin is?
I mean, he just hung out with Obelisk. He hung out with Obelisk and the Merlin, the magician, or something, didn't he? I can't remember their adventures. I mean, I'll tell you what, I'm a little bit fucked off. Speaking of tattoos, Cat in the Hat's been fucking cancelled, and I've got him my bloody leg. Unbelievable.
Yeah, you've
terrible scenes.
Let's be honest, people who know you fairly well would have known it's only a matter of time before one of the many tattoos you've got becomes cancelled.
Yeah, uh-huh. And, I mean, Manny Calavera...
What's Dr. Seuss done, then?
I think... who made Dr. Seuss? Was it Dr. Seuss? Who made Dr. Seuss? He has other problematic... He did a lot of, like, awful drawings. I didn't know that. I'd only read Cat in the Hat, to be honest. When you're a kid, I was 18 when I got the tattoo, but when you're a kid, you just read it. You don't really sort of take a second glance, really. But yeah, I think he's just got. He's a bit like Robert Crumb. He's just a dirty little weirdo,
right?
In many ways,
who could have thought it?
Yeah,
looking at his output,
I know, right?
Anyway, so I think Thunderbolt Magnum is a yes. Unfortunately, Joseph, you need both of us to sign off on that.
Yeah.
So take it up with Pete.
Yeah.
Ian the pool guy sent a lovely brand. So, Pete, they're called Homework.
Right.
But the ohm bit is actually an ohm.
No.
As in, yeah.
That is a new player.
I'm
ratifying that right now. Don't even need two signatures on that one. That is a new player. Well done, you.
It is. And it's also got the graphics on the battery itself have got a load of symbols for the male and female male and female symbols all over it, which is it's a strange product.
Very sexy.
But well done to you, Ian the pool guy. Chris Knowles sent in Frego, F-R-E-E-G-O, Frego. I don't think they're a new player. I don't think.
Really? Okay. I think they might be a new player, you know, Frego. It's like Free Willy, kind of.
All right.
Yeah.
We'll come back to you on that, Chris. But so we should have people all over, up and down the country, all over the world, in fact, checking their remote controls, their off-brand electronic devices, to see if they can find yet more off-brand batteries. They're everywhere, everywhere you move.
Being very stringent, though. We're not letting any old losers in, to be quite frank. Oh, no. Something that someone sort of mentioned a little while ago. I couldn't remember who did the song that featured the lyrics, "The Roof is on Fire." Now, there's obviously like a few songs that they feature it, but Kyle has got in touch, as indeed a lot of people did, but Kyle's email got me first. Howdy, probably already answered, but to answer Pete's query from a couple of weeks ago about the origin of the roof is on fire. The lyric was originally from an 80s hip-hop tune by Rockmaster Scott and the Dynamic 3 with the track called "The Roof is on Fire." If you listen to the song, you will also know a probably more famous snippet sampled by the Chemical Brothers at the start of the song. Also, the Bloodhound Gang used the lyric, and then the new metal band Cold Chamber then used it on their track Sway when new metal was at its peak. And I think that's where I probably heard it first.
The roof! The roof! The roof is on fire!
Etc, yeah. etc. Et
I never really considered Cold Chamber to be new metal.
Oh,
I suppose they kind of are.
Yeah.
I thought they were more like quite like dark metal or alternative
metal. They were very new metal. I think them and Fear Factory. Remember back in the day? Remember them?
Yeah, let's not get into metal subgenres because we will literally be here all day. But fair enough. Fair enough. Yeah. Good to go. Nice to get that cleaned up. So, Pete, on Monday we talked a bit about Skittles, didn't we? With our dear friend Ali.
They're made to make the mouth water.
Yeah,
put that on the
advert. That's Opal Fruits, Pete.
Oh, yeah,
that's
sorry.
Opal Fruits.
Sorry.
Starburst. Different brand of confectionery.
Starburst, thank you, cunt.
Starburst, yes.
You little cunt.
Yeah, I've embarrassed myself there. Anyway, who was it? Kevin. Kevin's been in touch about minstrels. I said, look, great stuff about Skittles. Mm. Let's talk about minstrels.
Let's talk minstrels.
Kevin's picked up the minstrel baton. Mm.
No, oh, imagine that. It would be really brittle and it would be melting as soon as you put it in your hand. Disgusting, but I'd like to see it.
Yeah. I wonder whether you can even call them minstrels these days.
You can still have minstrels,
can't you? I think
that'll
be the next thing
that happens. Probably.
To be honest, that'll be the next thing that happens because, I mean, that is problematic if you are any kind of studier of American history. Mm. Anyway, they're called minstrels for now. We have to go with it. Kevin says, long-time listener, first-time emailer, listening to the podcast, I thought I would use the free email service. Very good. Ooh. It is free. We bear all the costs of the email service, so you don't have to. In fact, we use a broker, don't we, Pete?
Yeah.
We use a broker.
Yeah. It gives us the best price on emails. A lot of our emails have been released as fungible? Works of art that you can obviously get involved in if you want.
We also we have a tracker email, so it goes up and down with the Bank of England and the email interest rate. Indeed. Anyway, Kevin says, and this is, I'll tell you what, never will you find an email that starts more excitingly than this, right? If this doesn't get you excited, then you're dead inside. I thought I'd tell you about the time I visited the Mars Confectionery Factory in Slough.
Yes, please. Can you imagine how sickening the smell is inside the Mars Factory? Can you imagine how cloying? Gross.
Uddingston in Scotland is where the Tunnocks Factory is, and it smells of caramel all year round.
Mm, nice. I like that a lot.
Kevin ramps up the excitement stakes by saying, at the time, I was working for a major high street retailer, brackets W.H. Smith.
Just said W.H. Smith.
Yeah, exactly. And we got invited to see how all the products were produced. In the middle of the factory floor, there was what I could only describe as something that looked like and was the size of a passenger plane without wings.
Right.
What was odd was that it was generating the sound of the sea with the tide splashing against the shore and the waves washing in and out. As I got closer, I was still none the wiser what this giant machine was. It seemed a bit like an over-the-top relaxation device for the workers at the factory.
Right.
But what it actually was, Peter, and this is a callback, and you're going to enjoy it, what it actually was the machine that they loaded the dull brown chocolate minstrels onto and allowed to rub against each other to shine them up, giving them the highly polished look you will be used to and will enjoy when you eat the aforementioned Galaxy Minstrel, the humble Galaxy Minstrel. They are shined up, made to look shiny in a giant passenger plane without wings.
They're made to make your mouth water, as the advert say. So why was it playing like kind of music from
a... I think that was just the sound it makes.
Oh, right, okay. Nice, I like that a lot. Yeah, so...
You think about it, if you've got millions of minstrels going back and forward in a big passenger plane without wings, probably going to make that kind of sound,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, how do they know that... I mean, I guess they must fill the whole thing up because you don't want them to be too shiny. You don't want people getting blinded by their minstrels when they get them out of the packet. So, like, you presumably have to... fill up the bin, start the gentle rolling of the minstrels in the passenger plane without wings, and then get rid, rather than just keep pouring and keep emptying it.
Would you like to dive in like Scrooge McDuck?
Yeah. I reckon if you just got big old scoopy handfuls and threw them in the air, they'd do some damage, I think.
Definitely. You wouldn't want to be hit with one of them plumb in the eye.
No, definitely not. Horrible. Horrible business.
Apparently also, I was looking this up earlier, and Galaxy Minstrels were the first confectionery. They used the phrase, melt in your mouth, not in your hand. People think that was the M&Ms, but it was the M&Ms later. It was originally the Minstrels.
Right, okay. And they're made to make your hand water. That was the original as well. So
Kevin's got a little PS to his email, a little addendum, where he says, as an ex-resident of Berkhamsted, someone who used to go out regularly in Hemel Hempstead, I'm surprised the subject of the magic roundabout road system has not yet been discussed, as Hemel Hempstead, along with Swindon and High Wycombe, seem to be the only places in the UK with this bizarre road system. Now, I know the magic roundabout in Swindon. Have you experienced, as a moped rider yourself, Peter, have you experienced the magic roundabout system in Berkhamsted?
No, I don't think there's one in Berkhamsted. I think Hemel is the big one. But yeah, I've flirted with it. I just think as soon as I start getting a roundabout, that is a recipe for disaster. I'm going to end up underneath a truck or something. Awful, awful business.
Yeah, we don't want that to happen. No. For those of you who can just hear that, my cat's just come into the room. He's obsessed with the spare room.
Nah.
And he goes mental. I don't let him in. So I'm about to let him in.
Yeah.
He would probably be equally as in danger as you on a roundabout, Peter. We don't want the cats to go near the main road. Thank you very much. But the Swindon Magic Roundabout. So for those who live overseas, I'm digressing. The Magic Roundabout in Swindon. Now, if you're an American listener, you're going to call it, I think, a rotary. I think they call it a rotary. You don't get many of them, but we call them roundabouts, and they're everywhere in the UK. The Magic Roundabout in Swindon, Pete's got a little tiny roundabout in the middle and five roundabouts orbiting it. It's incredible. I don't really know why they thought it was a good idea.
Everyone has trouble on it, and I don't know what, like, and sat-nav certainly have a lot of trouble because there's like three exits on each one, and you're like, where do I, it's like do you remember the video game, not video game, a board game, Downfall? Like, do you remember those little kind of interchangeable, like, little circles? I never had it.
Oh, yes, I do.
But I remember seeing it in the Argos catalogue, and it kind of looked like that was the caper going on. Actually, speaking of bloody board games,
mate. Had a spin-off film as well, didn't it?
Say again?
Had a spin-off movie as well, although that was about something different.
Never mind that game. But I found out this week, I cannot believe this, Screwball Scramble. Everyone loves Screwball Scramble. It's my favorite. It was my favorite toy growing up. I loved. It was like a little obstacle course where you had to get a marble across this kind of
a
quite complex mechanical little
ball bearing.
What did I say? Marble. All right, ball bearing.
Marble.
What's the difference between a barbell and a marble bearing? you had to get through this maze, and there was different kind of like aspects. Some would be again balance. Some would be like a wobbly little part of the maze
little
and
maze.
Stuff. And it had all different buttons and different actions, and it was like a little activity centre, and you'd have to get this ball around this maze, and it's been there. They started making it in, I think, 1976 1977, so it's been going for a hell of a long time, and it's never let up in its popularity. And then last year someone, the company that owned the license, made a second level to it. Now,
nice.
I didn't know about this. I would count myself as being a big fan of Screwball Scramble, but they made a second level. Of course, it's not as good. Of course, it's not as polished. There's a lot more. There's a lot of more chance going on in the game, which I don't necessarily like. You just buy it where you buy, you know, where you buy, usually buy your Tomy toys. But
it's a physical board game, right?
But it's a physical board game, and they just said Screwball Scramble 2, the next level. I cannot believe they've decided to make another one without there being a real hoo ha about it. This is bigger than Harry and Meghan. This is goddamn Screwball Scramble, for crying out loud. It's a part of everyone's history in the UK.
I would recommend watching the Screwball Scramble world record speed run.
Oh, wow,
on
okay.
YouTube. It is incredibly fast. I mean, it is absolutely ridiculous how fast they do it.
Yeah.
I would recommend that. It's incredible. I mean, I would say the record is probably about 12 seconds. And the pleasing thing about it, if you remember, the final bit of Screwball Scramble, I'm going to do the action on the camera now. It would go in the little arm, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
And you flick it over quick enough to ding the bell.
Yeah. Beautiful, yeah,
great stuff.
How
great
do they?
Days.
How do they
great
do?
Days.
How do they do the first bit is a wobbly walkway. Do they flip it from the start of the wobbly walkway down to the end very quickly, or they just do it really quickly?
Just smooth. Just traditional, mate.
Oh, so there's no flicks. There's no showboating. They just do the right thing quicker.
Not that I can remember. Right. I got into a bit of a Screwball Scramble YouTube hole about I don't know a couple of years ago. Mm. I just remember.
You take a lot of PCP.
We need to
then.
End, but this. All right. We need to end with this email, Peter, because we've had Charlie's got in touch and he's talked about place names. You know, we talked about amusing place names near where people live. Charlie says, near me, in deepest, darkest Essex, are the following places. There is a Thing Ring Ho.
Sorry? Thing? Thing?
A Thing Ring Ho.
Oh, lovely.
And a road quite near him, Turkey Cock Lane.
Turkey Cock now, Lane. I like that. I
looked up Turkey Cock Lane. I suppose they must do.
Yeah, I thought they have clack. What did birds have? Clackers, clackens. I can't remember now.
Yeah,
clackens. Release
I've
the
never
clackens.
Even heard that word before. What are you talking about?
Is it cloaca? Don't birds have cloacas? Or am I thinking of pigs? I don't know.
You're right.
Yeah, cloacas. I'm fairly certain that's a real word. And I'm fairly certain
I looked
birds
up Turkey Cock Lane, and I just thought to myself, why are they still calling it that?
Yeah, it just seems. You can see why they've named it like that. You know, it the genesis of the word is pretty clear, but you're just thinking of a turkey with a big old whanger.
Anyway, it's in Colchester. If you're interested, I thought I would. I thought I'd round off with just adding a couple of place names into the mix. I looked up Turkey Cock Lane. I looked up it up on Rightmove, see if there's any places for sale. There was one really nice looking detached like cottage.
Okay,
but I thought I don't care how competitively priced it is. I don't want to live on Turkey Cock Lane.
Don't want it.
Much.
No, thank you. Well, what a auspicious end to celebrating the podcast. The Luke Peach Show will be back on a Monday. We love you very much. Stay out of trouble. And if you are going for a drink in the park with a friend, don't do drugs. Ta-ta.
This was a Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creative Network.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
and receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit. And he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know.
And then we're way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.